Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 72nd Venice Film Festival, and I'm joined by filmmaker Emin Alper, who is here presenting his film Frenzy in the main competition of Venice. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So this is the first question. I almost dread asking it, but our listeners would nevertheless like to know, and I'd like to hear in your own words, if you could sum up briefly your story in a few words for our listeners.
Very shortly, I can say that it's the story of two brothers who found themselves each other after many years and try to build a relationship in a quite politically chaotic atmosphere.
It's actually a good round summary of the story, because it's very gripping kind of story, but it does have family back tones to it that are very deep in themselves. I just wanted to kind of find out, first of all, where did the essential inspiration for the story come from?
Actually, probably many different sources came together, I can say. As for the political atmosphere, probably it is the influence of my university years at the end of 90s, in which the armed fight between Kurdish armed groups and government was at its highest. And I was living in a kind of shanty town, which is very close to my university, and in that shanty town the leftist groups were quite powerful. So that experiences and many things that I read, For example, the story of Ahmet was inspired by Thomas Mann's story. So there are some different kind of inspirations, and they came together. At first, the story of Kadir and Ahmet was different stories. I mean, and then suddenly I thought that they can come together.
Yeah, so that's very interesting, because most of the times I find that the most original films kind of come together from a number of influences, not just one that you can pinpoint. Is that kind of a natural way in which you like to work? Maybe set aside some ideas and then see how you can maybe impulsively put them into a new project?
Yeah. Generally, my style is like that. A kind of embryonic story appears somehow, and I keep it in my mind. And throughout the years, I put some elements, take some elements out, and when I feel that it has developed enough, I want to write it.
Yeah, and another way in which that shows is also because I find that the film, yes, it does have some elements that root it to maybe the now, but also there's a sense of timelessness in the story. Yeah. Was that an intention?
Yes, of course. Especially for me to stress the universality of the atmosphere, right. It was very important. I didn't want to limit this story in a specific place or specific time period. It's a common atmosphere. It can be everywhere in the world. It can be every time, even the beginning of the century. It can be. So it's just to stress the universality of the situation.
Yeah. And I mentioned before briefly that family is sort of a central theme of the film, and the two leading characters, certainly two of the leading characters, are two estranged brothers. One who comes back from prison years later, meets his brother after he had last seen him when he was a child. So can you tell me a little bit about how you explore the theme of family in this film?
Family is very important in Turkey. It is still the strongest bond that brings people together. So that's important. For me, for the film, the family is very important. For the Kadir's main motivation is to find his brother and to achieve the family unity again, because he's a lonely man. You know, if you lose your family, you really feel alone, especially in Turkey. It's mostly everywhere like that, but especially in Mediterranean countries, family is more important. So, yeah, family is important in that sense. They need to build the brother needs to build a family unity, but he himself destroys this possibility.
Right. Yeah. Through secrecy and maybe this privacy that progresses in the film. I feel like I shouldn't say too much about it, because the film does have a few surprises. And the next thing that I want to talk about is the construction of the narrative itself. Whereas you decided to follow both of the lives of the brothers, and then as well as the characters around them, and then kind of split them up.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that choice?
It was almost like that from the beginning. The story came to my mind like that. I thought that it feeds the alienation and the separateness of the characters, but also it feeds the paranoia of these characters, and people, the audience, can identify with their paranoia if they see the stories first from one side, then from the other side. So I didn't. It wasn't something like that was discovered in the editing process. It was very beginning. It was written. The structure was put like that.
Yeah. And now, in order to kind of get a real sense of how the movie came to life, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the visual style and the cinematography and how you worked with the cinematographer.
This is like a more atmospheric film. The images was very important for me for this film. The locations was very important. The production design was very important, and especially the photography is very important. So I was very, very meticulous to pick the cinematographer. After many searches and interviews, and I found Adam Yandruk from Denmark. It was a very good choice. We were completely on the same page from the very beginning. It was a very good collaboration because I really wanted to make a dark film, but some cinematographers doesn't like dark since it's a little bit risky. But Adam likes risks, like me. So it was a very good collaboration, and I'm really, really happy with the result.
The darkness almost reminds me of even the film noir style, you know.
Definitely, definitely, film noir was also one of our references. When we were discussing with Adam, one references are kind of dirty, rough films, like for example from Mexican cinema, Latin American cinema, and the other reference was film noirs, definitely, especially for the dark night scenes, exterior scenes. It was one of the references.
Yeah, I can see why and how that could be. And what about how you worked with the actors then, with your cast?
After a long period of auditions, we built the cast and we made rehearsals, long rehearsals. It was really important for me to be prepared, since we had some limitations in terms of budgets. So we didn't so many times to shoot. We should be ready. We should be prepared. I didn't want to let the things for the shooting. So we really rehearsed much. We worked a lot, and I'm very happy with them.
You're a director that likes to rehearse his scenes. So
exactly.
Yeah, and obviously that means that you kind of create a familiarity between the actor and the characters he portrays. You don't want to leave that to chance.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so now I'd like to know a little bit about how difficult you found actually bringing this film to life, in the sense of how was the production a challenge to get started and off the ground? I suppose money must have been a challenge in itself.
Yes.
Kind of always is.
It's a great challenge. Actually, my first film helped to finance the film. Beyond the Hill was a quite modest success in Turkey, so in Europe as well. So it helped us to overcome some budgetary limits, but still it was very difficult. In Turkey there is the financement system of public ministry, Ministry of Culture, sorry. They started giving money for Turkish films, and many art house films were financed by this fund. But the funds, the money are quite limited. They are just enough for minimalist art house stories. So you have to put some money more on it. So we tried to find some money from Europe. We have a French co-producer. We applied some funds like Doha, like Sud Vision in Switzerland, and finally to France. We applied to France and find some money from there, and we achieved it, and with the support of Yuri Mash.
Do you think it's going to get easier in the future? Do you see a brightness in as far as getting support and the Getty filmed on in Turkey?
I hope so.
All we can do is really hope so. But right now we should say that now the film is happily made, and as far as the present is concerned, it's screening tonight. So I wish you all the best, and I thank you very much for joining us and talking with us about
it. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.